This is the Frank Fontana Show on WGN Radio. It's not just home improvement, it's life improvement.
Hey, everybody. Happy Sunday to you. It's me, Frank Fontana, joined with the one and only.
Hi, Kathy Hart.
Kathy Hart's here again.
How are you?
I'm great. How are you?
Excellent.
Did you have a good week?
Even on a crappy day. Did I? I don't. You know,
it's been
one
a week
of those,
since I talked to you.
I know, and I'm trying to think of what I did.
Nothing.
I know that I did some do-it-yourself. You'd be proud of me, I think. Although I never want to see another Allen wrench again. I put together a futon.
No IKEA, though.
No. Why does everybody ask me when I get something that requires assembly? Yeah. If it's IKEA.
It's in the dictionary. If anything relating to
assembly required.
Assembly, yeah, you have to ask if it's IKEA because it's a nightmare.
Is it IKEA? Well, I thought I was pretty good, and I just, you know, had a glass of wine with it. I don't know if that helped or hurt, but I got it done.
Is it level? Did you use a level?
Yeah.
You did?
And my 10-year-old actually slept on it last night.
Wow.
So
job done.
I think it's working.
It didn't fall.
We'll see. I have some bloody knuckles, and he heard a few curse words, but it's done.
That's also in the dictionary.
And over,
next to assembly is cursing.
When is the last time you did anything assembly required?
All the time. I build stuff from scratch.
You do?
Don't you know who I am?
Not really.
I'm the DIY
guy. I do, but I don't.
Yeah.
I feel bad. I never watched your show. I'm not a DIY person. I'm a chef. I would always watch Food Network.
Yeah, so I was a home improvement expert. I still am. I had a couple shows on HGTV, DIY, A&E
that
Network.
I knew.
Yeah.
I didn't watch them. Sorry.
We actually build houses, big houses, and then occasionally assemble some furniture for children.
Yeah, but have you done a futon?
It's been a while.
Okay.
It's been a while. I've
See,
taken
yeah,
apart
you go
a futon.
Big.
Yeah, I go big.
I'm right. One of these people that I don't want to pay the money for the full price stuff at the places. So,
sure.
And I look at it as a project that I can actually accomplish something.
Yeah.
So,
one, one of the best hints out there for getting great deals on furniture at IKEA, by the way.
Yeah.
Before you go right down the main aisles, go beeline to the scratch and dent section.
Oh.
Yes.
And if there's a dent that you don't mind that's kind of hidden.
It's always the case. And
okay.
You will find the best stuff right there. With minor issues, and usually it's people who return stuff and don't want to, or don't assemble it 100% correctly because it's so hard to. But I found such golden nuggets there.
Really?
Even for filming our show, Design on a Dime, we were constantly doing that because we
okay.
had no money for the show. So
good.
We'd be on a budget.
I'll try it.
Hey, you know what I saw this weekend?
What?
Our first date night to the movies in mm-hmm. like literally 7 years, my wife and I.
Are you exaggerating? Because you just said literally.
I swear to you, Kathy.
You're using the word literally.
On my children's life, this was our first movie date, and we saw A Star Is Born.
Oh, you finally got out to see it.
We did.
That's
and it
good.
It wasn't a kid movie. It was awesome. I really enjoyed it.
Yeah.
Did you see it?
I did. Right when it came out. I actually saw it before it came out because
yeah.
I'm kind of a Star Is Born freak. I saw the original. It was one of the first albums I ever had, dating myself, and I don't care. I sang to that album. I knew every word. And was obsessed with the movie. So I think I was one of the harsher critics
yeah.
when this one with Bradley Cooper came out and Lady Gaga, but loved it. I loved the spin they put on, you know, modern times and how they handled the whole story. I don't want to give it away, but I think everybody knows by now what happens to Bradley Cooper's character.
Kind of shocked me because I did see the first version many, 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 and I don't even remember a
okay.
lot about it. I just know that Barbra Streisand was in it.
Ah.
But it was nice to approach it with a fresh,
yeah.
you know,
realistic
set of eyes.
Mm-hmm.
And I was kind of sad for the whole thing. You know, I knew something was going to happen.
Yeah. And Bradley Cooper, insanely good in this movie. Lady Gaga,
great.
Just crazy good.
I was shocked. Like, I'm a fan of his. I love his movies. And this one, to me, I heard the early reviews and they're like, he's too handsome to play this dirty, rugged. He still comes across as this handsome. I didn't think so. I think he nailed the druggy rock star.
Oh, and the voice.
The voice was killer.
I heard an interview where I don't know if he learned it through Sam Elliott. I mean, that guy's voice, come on.
Yeah.
I don't know if it was through him. However, he learned the voice. It was almost, I don't want to say it was irritating because it was Bradley Cooper and I don't think he can do any wrong.
Yeah, exactly.
But
he can irritate you anytime you want.
Oh, God, tell me about it. but that song that he wrote for her just makes me want to melt. The one that she sang at the very end.
Yeah.
Oh,
I love that Shallow song, too, that they sang. That was so touching.
Which, oh.
Me and my wife tried to sing it afterwards and didn't sound exactly like Dave did.
I have the soundtrack, so I've been listening to the songs.
So is Sherry.
More and more.
Hey, we got a caller, Kathy, I think geared towards you. Steve wants to give you some DIY advice. Hey, Steve.
Okay.
Yeah, you know, you're talking about putting things together. Just a word of advice, if you get a bicycle for the kids for Christmas, pay the extra $10 they haven't put it together for you. When my kids were little, it took me till 3 in the morning to put this thing together the night before. For the $10, have somebody know what they're doing, put it together, and stop screaming at the instructions. Just
good advice.
Have them put the bike together.
Good advice, my friend. Thanks for the early call to the show. Appreciate it.
For $10, I totally would have done it.
Oh, absolutely.
Thanks, Steve.
I'm all about that. You know, even with that, you got to know your limitations with assembly. You know, there's certain things that I even won't tackle.
Are you a stubborn person? Because I'm one of those stubborn people, and maybe it's a female thing where I'm like, oh, I can do it.
Oh, no, no. I
am not asking for help. I will do it.
And I won't stop until I'm done. Like this guy, I will be up till 3 o'clock in the morning, no matter what. My wife thinks I'm insane.
I was meeting friends out on Friday night, and I was late because I was bleeding. I had bloody knuckles, and that made it a little more difficult to finish with the Allen wrench. And a hammer was not supposed to be involved in this assembly required, but it was for me.
Interesting.
Because that's what got it
done. You should videotape this stuff.
No.
No.
I swear too much.
You know what? Speaking of which, you post these cool stuff on your social, which, by the way, is at Kathy Hart Chicago, right?
Yeah, but Chicago is CHGO.
Yeah, and you're getting into these kind of expose type of pieces, these 1-minute rants about like things in supermarkets and the food we consume. And
would you consider it a rant?
It's a good rant.
Maybe I do rant.
It's a positive rant.
Well, it's what it was about like vitamin waters. When you go, I'm obsessed with Woodman's. If anybody knows me, they know that now.
You know what it is.
It's a new grocery store. It used to be, it's from Wisconsin, originated in Wisconsin, and they're building some Woodman's out here. I think they have, and I'm not exaggerating, I overheard someone in the store say 7 miles of shelving. It's overwhelming, and it's really inexpensive. So I went to get some vitamin water for my daughter, and there are about 4 or 5 aisles just of vitamin waters. So if people are on any kind of a diet where they're watching sugar, I prefer to get my sugar from alcohol. So if I'm going to get a vitamin water, I don't want any sugar in the vitamin waters. And I'm just saying a brand just because it's one of the things I know. So there's one that has 32 grams of sugar and another one has 0. So I just said, you know what, if you are concerned about sugar content, just read the labels because you think all these vitamin waters are the same and it doesn't matter. So that was just one of those little tips. I think I'm going to start doing that more often.
You should, because it really resonated with people. And you saw tons of people watch the video and it's kind of going mini viral on you.
Trying to be healthy is overwhelming.
So
is. And pick the right products.
And it's so easy to be like not healthy.
Oh, totally easy.
Yeah.
I had French fries over the weekend and they were delicious.
Mm. You know what I love? And this is a terrible thing to admit. Flama's Doritos.
Oh.
The extra hot, spicy. Ashley, you ever have Flama's?
Oh.
Am I saying it right?
I've never heard of that.
Go to your 7-Eleven, your local 7-Eleven, and ask for the Flama's.
Oh. They have those in Cheetos, too, right?
Yes.
Okay.
They're heavenly addictive, but that's my only vice right now because I got to eat clean. Hey, on the show today, we have a really special guest coming up, actually, as soon as we go to break here. Michael Glablicki, the lead singer of Rusted Root, is coming to town. I know you're a big fan.
Send me on my way.
Yeah. You're going to see him, right?
I am, Friday night at this place that just opened in Arlington Heights called Hey Nani.
Sweet. Yeah. He's going to be in town. We'll have him on the phone with us talking about his latest record and all that kind of stuff. Dr. Steven Sherba is going to be joining us in the 2 o'clock hour for the very first annual or bi-monthly Botox party in studio.
However often we need it.
Exactly. So that means that you're going to hear some of your favorite WGN radio personalities in studio with us coming up around 2 o'clock. The one and only Wendy Snyder will be here, Judy Pilek, Andrea Dollars, and maybe Stephanie.
Ah.
I don't know. She'll definitely come.
All right. Well, it's going to be a party regardless.
Exactly. And then we got some other fun topics we're going to dive into, like the People Magazine 2018 Sexiest Man Award. But I hate the spoiler alert. I won, just so you know.
Again.
God,
it must be a burden to win every year.
Going against people like, what's his name from Magic Mike? Chatham Tatum. I never know how to spell it.
Oh, Channing Tatum.
That guy.
He's yummy.
Chris Pratt's on the list.
I think. Yeah.
Will Smith's on the list.
Oh, and we're going to be talking about Will Smith. Jada Pinkett Smith has that show, Red Table talk.
Juicy.
Oh, man, did they open up.
We are going to spend a good amount of time on that because that is a juicy. And, folks, in the meantime, in between commercials, go watch a little bit of this video because it is hot and compelling.
It's pretty raw.
Yeah. All right.
And honest.
We got to take a break, and we'll get right into it as soon as you come back. Oh, yeah.
Love it.
Sweet, sweet sounds of Rough and Rude. Great, great song. They're coming to, or Michael Glubicki is going to be joined with Dirk Miller, and they're coming to Chicago, folks. On the line, we have Michael Glubicki, lead singer of Rusted Root. Michael, what's up, buddy?
How you doing? Doing great.
Excellent.
Good to hear your voice, man. It's always good to hear you, whether you're singing or talking. Are you in Chicago now?
No, I'm back home in Pittsburgh.
What's the weather like there?
Real nice. Kind of like a chill fall day.
Yeah, that's basically what it is here. That good old Chicago day nice. Where it's cloudy, drizzly, and people just want to stay inside and eat soup.
Sounds great. Looking forward to heading out your way.
Yeah, you'll be playing at this spot called Hey Nani, located 10 South Vail Avenue, downtown Arlington Heights, across from Harmony Park. Mm-hmm. Tickets still available, I believe, right, Ashley? No? Sold out? That's the way it should be.
Of course it did, yeah.
Of course it is.
Well, this is a new place. I think it just opened up. I don't know if you're familiar with it, Michael, but it sounds like a really, really cool place with a good vibe.
Yeah, I've heard a lot about it and really looking forward to getting there. I guess it's downtown, right?
Yeah, downtown Arlington Heights, which is just, really vibrant. I love it. But I do want to ask, what's going on with you? Because I know the last we read up with you, you and Dirk Miller from Rusted Root were working on a project together, and you weren't sure if you were going to get together with the whole band again or just go out and do this duo thing. So I'm guessing since it's you and Dirk that it's the duo thing?
Yeah, this show is going to be a duo. I play kick drum, acoustic guitar, and sing. And Dirk plays electric guitar, percussion, and penny whistle. So it's actually really fun. We really kind of break loose and do a lot more improvisation because it's just the two of us, so we can pretty much do whatever we want. And it's a lot of fun. It's super high energy. But in the meantime, we're back home and we're working with my new band called Uprooted. And we're working on a new record, so that's what we're doing now.
So will Rusted Root still remain, and you'll do gigs with them as well, or is this the new version of Rusted Root?
It's the new version of Rusted Root.
Excellent. Cool. Well, we can't wait to see you guys.
Yeah.
I know that when you heard when we came in the song, Send Me On My Way, and we posted on social media that we were going to be talking to you, and we posted the video, and I noticed it had over 8 million views. Just the one that we posted. I have to believe there's others. When you were writing that song, I'm assuming you were the songwriter for that one, right?
Yes.
Okay. Mm-hmm. When you were writing that song, did you think it was going to connect with people the way it did?
I knew it was special, and I would write during the day, and then the band would come in at night, and we would work on arrangements at night. But during the day, I would write the songs. And I was just there by myself in the rehearsal space, and it happened within like 5 minutes, which is, I guess, the story for a lot of pop, songs. And it just felt like this really light, beautiful, funny, and a giggly kind of energy came into the room, and the song popped out. That night we arranged it, and again, it was just fun. Everybody was giggling and laughing. And then the next night we played it out live, and someone came up to me and was like, man, that's your song, that's your pop song. And I was like, okay, yeah, whatever. But it was funny. It was just, there was just a lot of energy around that song.
Yeah.
You call that a pop song, but in my mind it's really not because it doesn't give me that poppy vibe, but it's just such a great tone to it. And I love, when I talk to a lot of musicians and artists, that moment of... it came to you. What preceded that? What preceded the moment of genius that then allows you to write a song? Do you ever think about that? Like, hey, what did I do that day that outputted that amazing hit?
Yeah.
And how can I replicate that?
Recreate it.
I think it's more about life in general. It's not one thing maybe the day before or something like that, but those chords and the emotional meaning in the song was sort of being played around with, I guess, for a couple years before that, you know, and you kind of find that emotion, and then you start to just sort of live in that dream for a little bit. And for me, it was a couple years of playing those chords and really feeling there was something there, but it's just sort of like a meditation, like you're meditating on those chords and you're meditating on that emotion. And then just one day you're not thinking about it and it just pops out, you know.
It's brilliant. I love that.
Yeah. Now, you said you were playing the pick drum. Is that what you said? I don't know. All I know is a drum. I don't know the differences in drums. My son just started playing, so I guess that's why I'm asking.
Oh, no. I'm playing a kick drum.
A kick
like
drum?
From a drum kit.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Got it.
Yeah, so I just kind of like just pound away on it, and it's kind of cool because I started off on drum kit. So when I play the acoustic guitar, you know, I play very rhythmically, but when I added in the kick drum, it was almost like there was no separation between me and a drummer playing. So I was playing both, and I can almost play these grooves and feels that I can't get with another drummer playing between the rhythm of the acoustic guitar and the kick drum. I'm able to do stuff that I just wouldn't be able to do otherwise.
Oh, I can't wait to see this Friday night. I'll be out there. And do you have any more information for people that want to see you elsewhere?
Can they go to your website?
Yeah, michaelglubicki.com has all the information. We're gonna do a New Year's run coming up with the Uprooted Band, and they can find information on that too.
Excellent. Hey, Michael, quick question: Do you still play around with Leon Mobley at all? The percussionist?
No, not as much. I have a new percussionist from Philadelphia.
It's funny because when I lived in L.A. for like 10 years, and in happenstance ran into Leon at a drum circle in Venice Beach. And, you know, everyone's having fun.
You're so rad. A drum circle in Venice Beach.
I was cool one time. Oh, my God. And I'm sitting here slamming away on a hand percussion at the djembe, and it's his from Remo. And I'm sitting there, and he's like, "Oh, nice drum, man." And this is when he was touring with you guys for a little while. And I was like, "Yeah, man, it was this dude, Leon." I said, "You know, hey, yeah, it's this guy, Leon Mobley." I didn't know it was him. And he's like, "Yeah, that's me." I'm like, "Get out of here, man. You've been smoking too much. Everyone's passing around too much of the funny stuff." He's like, "No, man, that's me." He's like, "Google it." I was like, "Holy shotsy, so that was him."
You were playing his drum.
I was playing Leon's drum, and he's standing next to me, and he's laughing at me.
Whoa. Doing a drum circle.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not that good.
What do you do at a drum? Like, you just...
Explain to you what you do at a drum circle.
You smoke a lot of weed.
Yeah, that's prerequisite.
And you smile a lot, and you look at each other and just have a good time.
That's it. That's the best explanation right there. Michael Glubicki, thank you so much for hanging with us. We look forward to having you in Chicago November 9th. Doors open at 7:30. It's at Hey Nani in downtown Arlington Heights. We look forward to seeing you, Mike.
Awesome, man. Can't wait.
All right, buddy. Take care.
Thanks so much.
All right, we'll be right back.
Last time at the Red Table, Will and I shared some very private truths about our relationship.
I was building a picture. I felt that money and winning made a good relationship.
Just like any couple who's been together for close to 25 years, we went through every emotion.
There was a period where mommy woke up and cried 45 days straight.
Then one day our marriage came crashing down.
I was failing miserably.
I can't do this like this anymore. We came to the realization that we had to redefine our relationship.
The voices you just heard were Jada Pinkett Smith and the one and only Will Smith.
Yeah.
On Jada's new social media talk show, The Red Table Talk, I believe it's called.
I like it. Yeah, I saw it on Facebook, and it's with her mom and her daughter, Willow, and they had Will on. And boy, first of all, they cleared up all the rumors, you know, about swinging. And understandably now, knowing what they went through after they discussed all this, you can see why those rumors started, because there were a couple of years where they were not married.
Yeah.
I mean,
2 year stretch where they, you know, Will Smith in the interview says they broke up within the marriage, which is an interesting concept, right?
Yeah. And he said that he was divorced before and he would not get divorced again. And Jada had the same attitude of, you know, I'm in this. We are staying together no matter what. You can be sleeping down the hall with someone else, and I don't care, but we are staying together as a family.
Yes.
And so
they never allude to cheating per se,
no.
But the rumors circulated that, you know, within that time, there may or may have. They didn't really get that deep into it.
Yeah.
She makes some loose comments like that. You know, and my wife turned me on to this. She's like, she watched the whole thing. She was in tears. She's like, you got to watch this. This is like profound.
It was intense.
It was totally intense. And folks, I urge you to go find this video. It's got up to, what, 8 million or 20 million views on portions of it.
It just came out last week.
It's striking a chord in the world today. Especially around the topic of marriage.
I think the two things that it touches on that resonated with me, and I think you and anyone in a relationship, is most people come into a relationship with something broken in their life, whether it's a childhood trauma or something that shaped them as a child that they may not even be aware of. That was a situation with me. I realized, they always say, like, break. I'm going to totally sound like a psychologist because I've been to a few and had a few marriages. So they say you have to break your pattern. And I thought I broke my pattern with the most recent marriage. And I realized I wasn't, that I still selected the same guy. And so they talk about, not only do you have to understand that both people in a relationship are broken in some way, and a lot of people are bringing childhood emotions and hurt and trauma into all their relationships, and they don't even understand it. They don't know that that's the cause.
Yeah, and he has a line in this where he said, I built this golden palace based on my dreams for what I thought she wanted.
Mm-hmm.
And if you watch the video, he talks about her 40th birthday, I believe it is.
Yes.
Where he planned this for 2 years since her 38th birthday. He wanted it to be epic. He had Mary J. Blige. He had the best of everything. And she sat there kind of miserable.
Well, he also got clips from her grandmother who had passed.
Yes.
That she had never heard of, something that she had written in a book.
Yes.
And so that was there in front of everyone, such an emotional thing. And Jada was really upset about it because she said, Will, you did this for you. You didn't do this for me. And he thought he was doing it for her. And so they delve into all this whole aspect of a relationship that you don't realize. Someone's actually doing something for you, but are they? Are they doing it for themselves?
Absolutely. And it strikes a chord with me. It strikes a chord with you. And obviously 20 million people watching this video.
Yeah.
And brings up a lot of questions. And we'd love to open up the phone line to talk about this. 312-981-7200. You can text or call us. Love to hear if you watch the Will and Jada interview, how they just open up their hearts. And what I thought was brilliant about most of this was that their daughter Willow was sitting at the table watching their parents unload in an educated, respectful, positive manner.
Mm-hmm.
And what an example, you know, in my opinion, of how to raise a child and expose them to things that are really difficult.
Right. And I think the main thing is commitment. And not a lot of people can do what Will Smith and Jada did. A lot of people will go through with a divorce because the brokenness is just too much, or they don't have the resources that Will and Jada had to do what they needed to do to heal the relationship.
Yeah.
So I thought it was pretty powerful that they opened up and really figured this out. I'm telling you, if you are in any kind of troubled relationship, I highly suggest you go watch this because it resonates with so many people.
And if you think you're in a good relationship and you really think you're in a good relationship, mm-hmm. watch this anyway. Because I believe that most people are fool themselves into thinking what they want to think is a real good relationship. You know what I mean by that?
Yeah. And didn't we have another clip that talks that Will thought he was doing something for her, but it was actually for himself?
You know, everybody's broken.
Everybody's broken. And what I realized, the idea that my brokenness created all of my discomfort.
Absolutely. Yeah. Mine too. The fact that I was broken, and I learned how to look fixed to the world.
Yeah.
Right.
Will Smith is a character.
Yeah.
Right? But deep down inside, I was an insecure little boy that wanted Jada to say I was great.
Aww.
Right? Mm-hmm. And if she didn't say I was great, the dragon came out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I could relate to that so much. And you could too, as a public person and a celebrity in radio for 20 something years here in Chicago, that the perception and the delusion that you have to upkeep to maintain a fan base, or the perception that you're this celebrity who's perfect. And I think is a tremendous pressure. A, B, the idea that, you know, even for me today, all I want is praise from my wife. Like, I, what I do is to feel her admiration for me as much as it is public for everybody. I want to go home and her to say, I'm so proud of you. That was awesome. I love you. Like, you're the best. Like, that's what I think most guys want.
Of course.
You know, and folks, chime in here. 312-981-7200. If you believe what Will and Jada are saying is true, or are you in the midst of your own breakup within the marriage, we want to hear from you and how you're navigating this, and does this at all resonate with you?
I think one of the biggest things that they said that I think is important for couples to know is you have to understand your partner's plight. Yeah. Because what you think is maybe fixing it for your wife may not really be fixing it. And you might be doing it from the bottom of your heart and with the greatest intentions, but then you could also be doing it partly for your ego. Like, oh, I'm going to be the greatest if I help her feel better about herself and praise her. But is it really helping her?
We'll see. We're going to take a quick break. Open up the phone lines. Text lines are open. 312-981-7200 is our number. Give us a call. We're talking on the topic of Will and Jada. And is there a perfect way to be married? They seem to have figured it out.
Yeah.
We'll be right back.
But you have to go your separate ways and get out of each other's way to really see yourself. So I had to go away, gain my strength as Jada again.
Yeah.
Not mommy. Not wife.
Right.
Jada Corinne.
Those are the powerful words of Jada Pinkett Smith. The recent interview, Tell All, with her husband Will Smith and their daughter Willow.
Yeah, boy, did they open up.
Yeah, I'm Frank Fontana. That's Kathy Hart. Some really powerful stuff in that interview that was revealed.
I think that one of the things that she talks about that is really key for a lot of relationships, and maybe our caller Sandy might have something going on with this, is that Jada needed to go out and learn how to love herself. And like I mentioned, she did bring up in this interview about some childhood issues and trauma that she went through that didn't realize were not healed, didn't realize they were affecting her current relationship. Those have to be dealt with first before you can be in a successful relationship.
100% agree. Let's hear what Sandy has to say. Hey, Sandy, thanks for calling the show.
Hi there. This really strikes a chord.
It has for millions and millions of people.
Yeah,
I'm really trying to keep it together. On the 29th, I go to court. I knew I didn't really like myself. And he's always been so wonderful and supportive. I met him at high school in 49. But he couldn't understand how his praise and adulations towards me did not work. Therefore, it made him angry, and he couldn't turn back. In fact, part of his anger was he decided to revoke any way of stating that I was good. He was not going to compliment me anymore. He couldn't understand no matter what I said. So
it's a terrible cycle. It's first of all, I feel for you, Sandy, because it's a terrible cycle. He is trying, but it's the wrong thing for you. It might work for other people, but especially if you've been together since high school, I have to believe that you have hit a point in your life where you need to find yourself. You need to learn to love yourself and just figure out who you are. And
unfortunately, I've done that after he left. So
do you regret that, Sandy? Would you rather have done that while you were in the marriage?
I wish I could have. I wasn't in a place where I could. I think I thought, part of me thought that I needed it, and part of me knew I didn't need it. Yes, I do.
Do you want a second chance? Would it be even in the realm of possibility for you?
It's not for him with me. He said no. So, and I guess it's to the point where I don't know if I do if I can't have a chance.
Can I ask you, did you know what to tell him that you wanted? If it wasn't praise and admiration, were you able to clearly communicate what you did want from him?
I thought I did, but I'm not so sure I could, to be honest.
Can you today?
He's a person who likes to... Yeah, I think I could. I could tell him that I just needed patience to find myself and to know that I'm everything I can be already. And I am as exactly as good as my friends and people who know me think I am. I just didn't see it myself. So now I'm happy with who I am. And
good.
Unfortunately, it's without him, and I guess I carry that moving forward and have to learn from it.
Well, I think guys want to be fixers, and I think, Frank, you might be guilty of this, too.
I'm raising my hand right now. My
you
wife
want
will
to
tell
be
you.
Fixers, so if someone... Yeah. Sandy, in this situation, he wants to fix it, and when he can't fix it, then he takes it personally and gets frustrated.
Correct.
And then ends up taking it out on you. And I think that so many couples are in that exact position. And Jada and Will were talking about if Jada didn't go away for like 2 years, like completely shut down from everything and find herself and, you know, self-love that's like all over social media nowadays. It's all about self-love. And I'm not talking about that kind of self-love, Frank.
Right,
I just saw that look in your face.
What are we talking about? What sites are you on, Candy?
No, not that kind of self-love. So if anybody's on social media, it's all about self-love and learning how to love yourself. And I think that a lot of guys, as much as they love you, they struggle with that because they can't fix it. And they might think that they're part of the problem. And they're really not. They could be in some situations. But
right.
Women just need the room.
But our egos won't, our male egos, and I'm not saying men are the only one that have egos, because women do too, but we are guilty
right.
of, like you said, wanting to fix, and when we can't fix, our egos are bruised, and then we either
then
lash
hurt,
out, we're hurt, or
and hurt people hurt.
Or retract.
Yes, or shut
like,
down.
So me, my yeah. MO is yeah. I just get hurt, and I'm just like, gosh, like I can't function. Like
yeah.
I all I want to yeah. do is please this woman, you know, and I she,
right.
she's not getting it. You know,
I think the guys think that they have to, like, heal you and fix you in their way, and that's admirable.
That's the problem.
Appreciate
right.
it, but it's not their way. Is not your way. I'm assuming, Sandy, right? Because you need it
in
a different way.
And he told me I irrevocably I can't even talk right now. Hurt him. I can't take it back. It's too late.
Irreparably.
Yes, irrevocably.
Yeah.
Sorry, I just couldn't
yeah.
come up with the word. He did move to the basement for about 9 months, and then we were split for a year and a half before we decided to do it.
Hmm.
So are you thinking about a second marriage after
sounds
this?
Sounds like she's moved on. And
I'm not thinking about anything in the future other than making sure I'm happy. If it happens, it does. If it doesn't, it doesn't.
Good for you.
Good
for you.
I'm not looking for anything in particular. I just need to be happy, and that's it.
It's a hard lesson to learn, but it sounds like you did learn it, and you're ready to move on.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Thank you very much.
Hey, thanks for sharing, Sandy. I know that's not an easy thing to do on radio.
Yeah, it's very personal, so thank you.
It really is, helps other
you're
people
welcome.
Listening. So just take that with you, is that you know, you probably helped a good amount of people today by being brave.
Thank you very much.
Thanks,
have
Sandy.
A great day.
Yeah, one of the things that, again, it's so much like childhood emotion, and I don't know what Sandy's issues are. I know for me personally, a lot of it was some stuff from childhood that I didn't realize bothered me until I went and I did something that's called the Lifeline Technique. And it there's a documentary out called Heal, the Heal documentary with Dr. Darren Weissman. He's local, actually.
We got to get him on.
He is incredible. So he goes into like the subconscious and he finds things from your past that you don't even realize are affecting you. And then that just allows you to heal moving forward, or at least understand what your pattern is and how to break that pattern.
And you got to want this. You know, you got to want that deep change.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, Will admits to doing 2 years of deep, you know, work on himself, read every book about relationships and saw shamans and went to mountain peaks. And now, granted, here's the caveat to their situation, folks. They're gazillionaires. They can afford the best therapist.
Mm-hmm.
They can afford to take a month in Dubai, and they can afford to go, you know, on a mountaintop and meditate with the Dalai Lama. You know, so that does make a little bit of a difference
it
to
does.
Get through this. So I leave this conversation with, is this scenario realistic for the average marriage? I don't know.
I think the key is to be in a relationship with someone who understands that you're going through something and you just need space and to not take it personal. Too many times there's like a narcissist versus an empath relationship, mm-hmm. and that just causes trouble. So if you're in a relationship with a narcissist, then they're going to take it personal and they're not going to really give you that understanding or time you need.
And ironically, you say that they're attracted to one another.
Yeah.
Which empaths, is the sick thing.
Empaths want, they want to help people, and narcissists often are like the kind of needy people where it's all about them.
Yeah.
So it's not a good combination.
Yeah, we'll have to continue this conversation. Maybe even later in the show, we'll ask Wendy and everybody what they think about the whole topic. Right now, we're going to take a little quick break. We'll do some news when we come back. The Botox party starts.
Yay!
Welcome back to the Frank Fontana Show here Sundays from 1 to 3 on WGN Radio 720. Kathy Hartz joining me in studio.
Lucky you. Look at all these women in
ladies, the studio. I got a house full of ladies and a doctor.
Ooh la la.
It's a chick party.
Oh yeah. Yeah. So joining us, some of the voices you hear all week long, Mary Vandeval, we have Wendy Snyder and Judy Pilek.
Didn't somebody just have a birthday?
Judy
makes sure everyone knows it's her birthday.
And you know, I wish you could see Wendy's face. She's like, Judy.
I know, right?
What happened?
Because it's all about me. And it's so funny. People are like, oh, you're 29. And I have no problem. I'm like, no, I'm 58. Because if I'm 29, I am not looking too good.
You look bad for 29.
I look pretty good for 58, but
I'm 72.
Yeah.
So this is our first ever official WGN Radio Botox party. Dr. Stephen Sherba is in studio. His trusty assistant Janine's with him. You heard him on the Frank Fontana Show many times. I'm not a virgin to Botox. I've had it occasionally. I do a lot of TV stuff, so I need to look pretty. Mary has never. She's our virgin.
I guess
in the room.
I'm the only one.
Oh, you're
wait, Kathy, have you had it?
Oh, hell yes.
Oh, yeah. Okay, I'm a newbie.
Please,
my kids think I'm crazy, but I'm here.
Although, you know what? I do have a question for. Are we calling you Dr. Sherba?
Yeah. That's
okay.
Right.
Okay. I didn't know if I had it right. Okay.
Watch your belly up to the mic, Doc.
Sure.
So, a question that I have, and Mary may have this question. Or we were talking with someone earlier about this. I think with Ashley, the producer, we were talking about when you first get Botox, then do you have to continue getting Botox? Like, does your body or
that
your
was my first question.
Face, mm-hmm. like,
well, the nice thing about the safety profile in Botox is that it goes away. It lasts about 3 to 4 months in most areas. In some areas, it'll last about 6 months.
Okay.
So in case there's ever perhaps a migration of the medication into a place you didn't want it, like a droopy brow or a droopy eyelid, that will eventually pass. So Botox is a repetitive use drug. And you have to remember that it is a drug. It is a medication. There has to be a physician around.
Mm-hmm.
And situations like this, very safe, very legal, very much in control. But I'm a board certified plastic surgeon. Janine is a certified aesthetic nurse provider. And in situations like this, we can make it very safe and comfortable and reliable so you don't have these untoward events and you can just get it done repeatedly.
And you don't end up on the TV show Botched.
Right.
Which we were talking, Doc, off air, that those guys are legit board certified plastic surgeons. But, you know, they do fix some problems. You throw a lot of these Botox parties, right?
Yes.
You and your crew. Do you have women talk to you about these issues that have gone through with plastic surgery?
Absolutely. I feel like Botox parties are a nice way to sort of meet a group of very, mutually or similar patients who are friends, who feel comfortable in front of one another, and you can kind of get the message out to them as to how this can be done safely, reliably, get to know a few patients in a scenario that is more comfortable for them.
Outside the office.
Absolutely.
So they'll probably tell you a little more, right?
They will. And, all this starts with a very thorough medical history. We took our medical histories off air because we want to make sure that, even if you are in a Botox party, I want to know your medical history. Even if your friends are not around, I'll take you in the corner. Mm-hmm. I want to know exactly what medications you're on. And medical problems you may have had, situations, medical, like Botox issues you might have had in the past, so we can prevent that stuff for your future treatment.
Okay. Like, I'm taking an anti-inflammatory for my knee, and that is something that causes thinner blood and hence more bleeding. So we discussed that.
So you're gonna be a bloody mess.
Squirting pee.
Yeah, I got my camera right here, Wendy. Just so you know, I'm ready to film.
Why are we Facebook live?
You better go last.
Come on.
I'm doing it. You may talk. I'm gonna set it up.
I will.
It's on.
But I have one question. Why are there so many women that get an overabundance of plastic surgery and they all start looking like a cat?
They all look the same.
Yeah,
they have the same look.
Well, actually, I think filler face has become a little bit more of an issue more than Botox. Botox, you can see a sort of like a slight sheen to a patient's skin. You're like, oh, their Botox is really working hard because they have no animation. Their skin's a little shiny. They have their Botox working. But one thing that has become a little bit more prevalent in our office is filler face. People come in with overstuffed filler into all areas of their body.
So, Janine, do you tell them no? Do you go, I think this is overdoing it, but they say, you know what, doc, I'm paying you, I want it done.
Well, actually, we don't do it that way because, you know, a lot rides on who touched the patient last.
Your reputation, yeah.
For sure.
What we've done for these patients who have come in with filler faces, we've had to dissolve it all. And I mean, this is thousands and thousands of dollars of product dissolved. And you have to take the slate down to blank and start over.
What about lips? That seems to be the latest obsession, is lips.
Well, I think lips can be done very, very, very safely, very naturally, to the point where it's kind of a question of did she or didn't she, not like, oh, my God, who did she go to?
Yes.
And I think, you know, it's one of those things where it does take a little bit of prep work, a little bit of, like, artistic interpretation by both patient and provider.
Okay.
That you're like, okay, this is what I would do. I would stop here. Is this what you're looking for?
So if people are looking for someone to do, like Mary has to be nervous about doing this for the first time. And
little bit. I'll hold your hand.
Doesn't want to look
thanks,
like
Wendy.
A lot of these celebrities that we see that just look so fake. How would you suggest someone find the perfect person to do it that they know they can trust?
Well, one of the things
besides
that I think,
coming to see you, of course.
Thanks. I think there are core providers, and I feel like plastic surgeons, dermatologists, facial plastic surgeon, oculoplastic surgeons, these are all core providers. These are doctors who spent years in training, getting certified, not just a quick weekend, you know, course in this perhaps just aesthetic medicine. I feel like you have to be a core provider to kind of avoid that overdone, overtreated complications can be avoided. I feel like you gotta stick with the core providers. And situations like this, Janine and I mean, we've worked together for years now. She's certified by a certain body. We have nurse practitioners. You know, PAs can do this stuff. But you have to have a physician around.
Okay, so do your homework on who is doing
it. Exactly.
And do your homework. I think this is also important, too. A lot of women just come in and they say, I want Botox. And I don't know what your routine is for asking specifically what they want. But I think the women have to be prepared with questions because I've had it done before, and then I'll get the angry eye where I look pissed off, like, all the time.
That's my face right every now? Day.
That was awesome.
Yeah, I want to get rid of that.
RBF.
So and then I've had it. Resting, yeah, resting bee face.
Yes. And then I've had it
like
where.
Like right now, Wendy, you got it going on.
I look like a deer in headlights where my eyebrows were way too high, and it was the same person doing it, so I'm like, can we find a happy medium?
I think one of the things that I do with my patients is I'll do a dot pattern with a erasable marker on their forehead.
Mm-hmm.
And for their high-end patients like Frank, what I do is I have them take a selfie of their own marks. And I take it and put it into our medical record also. And so then I can be as consistent as I can because I do feel that even in the best of hands, brow lifting, chemical brow lifting is almost incidental. You can't always reproduce it.
It's tricky.
Yeah.
Okay. What do you think of, we're going to take a break, actually, and you can answer this when we come back. We are live right now because Judy wants everyone in the world to see her get stuck in the head with a needle. You can go to my Instagram page, at Frank Fontana on Instagram. We are streaming live. We'll stream live through the break, so no cursing during the break. And we'll talk about how Kathy's eye shapes up and kid you.
I have a weird eye.
Yeah, we're going to manage this weird eye of hers. She's not giving me the stink eye, just so you know. All right, we'll be right back. Welcome back to the Frank Fontana Show. Every Sunday from 1 to 3 p.m. Unless we're kicked off the air by baseball players and football players. But I don't think it's happening for a while. Kathy Hart's here.
It happens.
It does.
Okay, so I'm going to get personal. Where have you gotten Botox?
I can't say.
Your glabella?
My
What's a glabella?
My sphincter. My glabella.
Frank. Right here.
I'm sorry.
Sphincter. Every time I hear that word, I just laugh. I can't help it.
I think of Finkston Road every time you say that.
Sphincter?
Yes. Finkston. So the glabella is the one that your mom always says, don't make that face or you'll, you know, stay that way forever. In between your eyes.
That's right. They call it the 11th.
Yeah, the 11th.
Well, ask
the
11th. Dr. Sherman where he's giving. Dr. Stephen Sherman is joining us in the studio. Chicago Aesthetic Surgery, correct? Right? Is that the name? Located here in Chicago. You have offices elsewhere.
Right. We have a big office in Rosemont. We have a satellite office in Hoffman Estates area and downtown.
Voted one of the best plastic surgeons in Chicago.
Excellent. We're good hands, ladies.
We'll see about that.
Double board certified. The guy knows what he's doing with a knife and a needle, for that matter. So, Doc, who's going first here? But he just to answer your question, Kath, you tell her kind of what you do for the men.
Right. I do feel like men are, the muscles are a little bit stronger in men.
Yeah.
Right?
And mine wears off quicker than most.
And I feel like you have to do the appropriate dose in a slightly higher concentration so it doesn't spread as much and doesn't give you the weird eye. You know? So it doesn't kind of drift into your eyelid and actually close the eyelid a little bit more. I don't think Frank has ever called me and said, oh, my God, my eyes are different.
I need a fix.
Right.
No.
I need a fix.
Okay. Mm-mm.
One of the things that it keeps it safe is Janine and I have kind of like taken the opportunity to concentrate our Botox a little bit more. So even though we're injecting the same amount of doses, it's done in a smaller volume of liquid. So it spreads less, minimizing your chance of spreading it into an area you don't want.
Okay. That makes sense. That's starting to make sense. So as far as who goes first, should Mary go first so she doesn't see other people get it and freak out?
Thanks, Kat.
That's good advice, though.
That's great.
Because you may back out.
I won't.
No, did you say she may black out?
No, she may back out.
Oh. You know, I'm pretty good with needles and stuff.
You are?
Yeah.
Good.
Yeah.
So the little crunch that you hear as it goes in.
Crunch? They're like your teeth cracking?
Yeah. No, it's
like a tortilla chip.
No, I think it's just like breaking skin.
Yep.
Okay, let's not talk about
She's going to back out before she even gets
But
it.
You should be prepared a little bit
Janine
to know.
Quickly starts poking her head.
I'm okay.
And then
she may run.
Got my headphones off?
You feel
like a pinch,
a poke, and a little bit of a burning, a little
bit. I think
bit.
When the needle goes in, everyone feels a pinch, which is why for anyone who's a little bit needle phobic, we recommend a little bit of numbing cream 15 to 20 minutes ahead of time.
Sure.
Okay.
Hey, if anybody has questions while Mary's getting hers done about Botox, you've never done it, but you may be considering it. Is it safe? Is it something for me? Dr. Sherman's going to be with us in studio for the next little while here, 312-981-7200.
So what about different forms of Botox? I know that that's a brand. What other types of Botox, per se, are
And
there?
Isn't it a poison? Come on. Botulism, isn't
okay,
that what
Wendy.
It is?
I say the same things to him every time.
Mary's about to be injected, and you're like, isn't it botulism?
Can't you die?
Dr. Sherpa, isn't it?
It is 100% the same problem that causes food poisoning, and the botulinum toxin has been kind of purified to a point where it's actually fairly safe and consistent.
Wait, are we getting this?
Yeah. Oh, we're live right now on Instagram, folks. You can see Mary getting her first prick.
Good. Oh, excuse me?
Of a needle. Wendy, get your head out of the gutter.
Also, Botox is used for, when I was in high school, I always sweat through my outfits, and it was embarrassing,
sweaty
and now
pits.
It's used for that now, too, isn't it?
Absolutely.
How's it going, Mary?
It's used for hyperhidrosis, so overactive sweat glands. You can definitely inject it into feet, palms. One of my perhaps most unique patients.
In the palms?
Yep, was a bus driver. And he would sweat profusely in the palms.
What's profusely? I've never met a palm sweater. Have you?
Wet. Wet would be profusely.
Yeah. Like literally, like you've washed your hands and there's still water in your
hands. Yes.
Wow.
And there are surgical procedures for that. One of my buddies actually does that. But
Mary looks like she's ready to take
He was
a
not
nap.
Ready to go down that road. And he did.
Does it hurt?
Botox into the palms.
I can't talk. I don't think.
Wow.
And it literally dried it up, so to speak.
Well, I think it takes it and kind of calms it down. You know, where you're not as active. And this guy came back for years. I think he must have retired. But he came back for years for injections.
Also, my dentist has been trained to do it for bruxism. Like, I clench my jaw. I never got it done, but it's being used for that as well, isn't
it? And migraines?
Wow. Yep. So migraines, I feel like anywhere where there's a nerve entrapped in a muscle and the muscle is hyperactive, I feel like Botox is a good option. Those people who respond, their migraines respond to Botox, there are plastic surgeons who actually do migraine headache surgery to eliminate either release the nerve from the muscular entrapment or cut the nerve itself and your migraines go away completely.
Wow. It's like magic.
It is pretty magical.
When people walk into your office for Botox, what's the accompanying service that usually comes along with that? Like, is it fillers and Botox?
Well, I feel like Botox is sort of that entry into the practice, you know, and
gateway drug.
I started using it in, I think I was 35. And the only area that I had was my forehead. And I, for a good 7-8 years, I just injected my forehead.
Doesn't he look so young, Wendy?
Oh, my gosh. I can't stop staring at your skin, doctor.
You can thank Janine for that.
Yeah. And Janine. Look at her.
And it looks natural.
Yes.
Mary, how you doing?
Mary, by the way, we're doing a little play-by-play here. Mary is got her head tilted back. If you're not watching on Instagram or WGNradio.com/watch, you can see Mary getting up. She's almost on her tail end. Janine, is she? How many shots have you given her so far?
So in the glabellar region, I gave her 5.
Okay.
And in the forehead, I just sprinkled droplets in there because the majority of her wrinkles are in the lower half of her forehead, which is an area of which Botox will make your brow drop. So she's had maybe 6 little droplets in her forehead.
See how customized it is?
Yeah,
it's not just like one size fits all.
Right. And it really does not hurt.
Kathy,
come on.
Good.
You had asked about options for Botox. So there are 3 major brands now, and there are 2 or 3 coming to market. So
new ones?
New ones.
Oh. Any better than the other?
I'm not quite sure. I feel like each has its advantages. Botox is, I think, the gold standard.
I would be afraid of a new one.
So we've used Dysport in our practice and Xeomin a little bit in our practice. And Dysport, interestingly enough, seems to kick in a little bit quicker. And some patients actually last a little bit longer. And other patients a little bit shorter. So you do want to customize it a little bit. There was recently a study done here at Northwestern as to how to make your Botox work quicker. And
because for those that don't know, and I don't know if Mary is aware of this, the very first time I got Botox, I was going to an event that night, and I thought it was going to kick in immediately. I didn't know. It's funny. I laugh now, but I thought it was going to kick in immediately. How long does it take?
Well, 7 to 10 days, but I don't really like to touch up patients before 2 weeks. I feel like if a patient has had good markings, good practice, and standard techniques, I like to see what 7 to 10 days does. They can text me, they can call me and say, all right, I'm thinking I need a little bit of a touch-up. I'll be like, great, let's meet at the 2-week mark, and then we can add more if we need to.
Okay.
Does that happen often, or do you usually just do it the one time?
Well, Janine and I introduced this phrase to me. It's like salting a soup. Right? You can always add more.
Good analogy.
Right? Yeah.
So, but the minute you add too much salt, you've kind of overdone it.
You've ruined it.
Then you got to wait.
You got to put a potato in the
soup. Absolutely. Yeah. We're getting some phone calls and some texts that we'll get to. We do have to take a break, take some news. We're going to continue the Botox party during the break. You can head on over to my Instagram page, at Frank Fontana, on Instagram to see the in-between while the news is going. And Wendy's up on deck next. She's warming up her brows. We'll be right back. Welcome back to the Frank Fontana Show here on Sunday, the WGN Radio Sunday Fun Day. And we're having our very own first ever WGN Radio Botox Party.
Where's the drinks? That's what I wonder.
That's what everyone's asking.
No champagne, no wine. I feel so vain.
I don't
cocktails.
Know. Could you mix Botox and beer?
And alcohol?
No, I feel like blood. I get wine.
No, Wendy Snyder's saying
Botox
no.
And Dr. Mary, Snyder
what
says
say
no.
You?
Well, the doctor said we had to sign our consent form before we start.
And for the record, Dr. Sherbert is not doing shots of tequila at a Botox party.
No.
Maybe
not that
after.
Kind of party.
Maybe
it was,
after.
It's quite relaxing, though,
but
actually.
It was?
It didn't bother me at all. It's just like a little pinch, like you're getting a shot.
Yeah.
But
do you have pain tolerance?
Yeah, I do. I do. But I had some in my nose, which was interesting. I've never had. Yeah, she pinched me in my nose a little bit. I forgot why. Maybe Janine can explain that.
Ooh, Wendy, your face is red.
Yeah.
Folks, if you want to see this right now, which I highly urge you do, go to WGNradio.com/watch. Or you can hop onto my Instagram page, at Frank Fontana on Instagram. Just go to the live feed, and you'll see Wendy right now. She got quite a few holes in her face.
Now, Wendy, you said you haven't done it in years, like 10 years? Mm-hmm. Okay, how does it feel compared to last time?
I don't remember. Because it was so long ago.
Judy Pilek's on deck. She's looking a little nervous. She's got a bunch of marker.
I know.
Judy, do you want me to come hold your hand?
Like one little.
You are getting Dr. Sherba to do it personally, so this is interesting. Maybe he's taking extra care for some reason. Doctor, is there a reason why?
The stakes are high.
The stakes are high. You know, you're dealing with some of the top talent here on WGN Radio. You know she's the goodbye girl, right? If you screw that up, goodbye.
We all have to work tomorrow.
She's not called the goodbye girl for a reason. Oh. Her cousin Vinny and Joey, you know, it's that's the way it goes. So, Doc, the Botox party idea, is it still a big thing?
Well, as I've gotten busier over the years, my wife doesn't really let me do it as frequently as I used to. But I like it. I like it. I have my core group that I still do. I have two or three parties that I have since brought into the office just because it's easier.
Okay.
And it's the safety profile of us doing this stuff in the office is a little bit easier.
Sure.
But I still like doing Botox parties. We do them all the time. It's just a matter of you get busier, you find yourself in the operating room later and later. And, you know, thankfully I work with Janine. That makes life for me much easier.
Good. Do you feel that more and more people that wouldn't get Botox in the past feel more comfortable with it because it just seems more before it seemed like there was such a stigma attached to it, like I was embarrassed to admit that I got Botox, and now it just, I mean, here we are having a party, woo,
in a radio studio.
It's not nearly as taboo as it used to be. Mm-hmm. And I do feel like it's almost like entry-level age maintenance. You know, we're just trying to maintain. We're not really trying to look like somebody different. We just want to maintain what we have. And, you know, when I first did it at age 35, it was just my forehead where I just saw these wrinkles. Mm-hmm. And I was like, oh, well, that's easy. And then I sort of, you know, got used to doing Botox 2 to 3 times a year.
How is it when someone comes in their 20s that really doesn't need it, but they feel like they do?
You can pick it out. If they are starting to get wrinkle lines at rest, like dental hygienists, they get these wrinkles very early in their 28, 29.
Why dental hygienists?
They're focusing the whole time. Like they're focusing inside your mouth, they're frowning, and then all of a sudden they'll have a wrinkle, and it's like, can we do something about this? I'm like, absolutely.
I think the first wrinkles are, for most women, are crows, anybody, are crow's feet, right?
You know, I think everyone kind of ages slightly different.
Foots? Crow's foot?
You know what I meant.
So I feel like for some people, it's going to be their 11s, their glabella area. For other people, it'll be their crow's feet. And for me, it was my forehead. But that's what makes us all unique.
Yeah, my crow's feet are my problem, I think, more than my forehead.
Smile. Let me see.
They look good, though.
No, you do.
Sometimes you want to see some kind of wrinkle.
I want to look like Dr. Sherba. That's
excuse me. Maybe the doctor can get back to my face here.
Yeah, I'm sorry, Judy.
I'm getting a little worried.
Judy's half done.
Wendy's done. Stopped? Mary's done.
Well, one of the things that I do, and I feel like, I don't know, maybe it's just something I got used to. I worked with this gal in New York City. We used very fine markers, and we would mark you exactly where we wanted, and as we would go and inject you, we'd wipe off the marks. So I know exactly where I still need
Thank
to go.
Goodness.
Wait, is that a Sharpie? Did you use a Sharpie?
I did. Well, it's a dry
it's a permanent
erase.
Marker.
Yeah,
it's
why did Judy get marks?
Yeah, how'd the marks come off? Erase. That's what I am.
That was a good one, a week or two.
Doc, why did Judy get marks and nobody else did?
Well, I feel like this is the way I do it.
Okay.
You know, I do it. You know, I get interrupted. I get phone calls. I get pages from the hospital. I want
to
know
questions on a radio show
to keep track. Basically,
absolutely
trying to do a bit here.
And one of the things that I had already alluded to is, for these high-end patients, especially ones who, you know, like Kathy.
Doc, if you could just talk right into that.
There you go. When you're talking about high-end patients like Kathy or Frank, like I literally,
I love how you say that about me. Well, so
make
put the marks on their face and take photographs and make them take a selfie. Because I want to make sure that I deliver the same product every single time.
Consistency.
Yep.
All right. Well, I don't want to take you away from finishing.
And I notice
Judy,
he has like
nervous.
These magnifying glasses on because my wrinkles are so hard to see.
Actually,
she turns it around all the time.
Uh-huh. What I'm trying to do is minimize your bleeding and bruising. Janine wears.
Well, thank you for that.
Right. Readers that might do the same, and I have. You know, I'm a surgeon, so I have these surgical telescopes that I'm very used to, and I just have injected Botox always this way.
When can I wash my face?
Thing. Yeah, that's a good question. No.
But Janine has probably wiped it off for you, so there's not much she'll...
You should be doing those exercises. Doctor revealed... By the way, folks, if you get Botox, Dr. Sherba just revealed a secret to make it last longer or kick in quicker. What is it, Doc?
So this is nothing that I've developed at all. It was actually a good study was done here at Northwestern just down the road, my alma mater for surgery, that if you go through certain facial exercises, your uptake of the medication will be faster and the onset will be quicker.
Oh, so we're going to be walking down Michigan Avenue going, hello, hello.
So please go to my Instagram and look at Wendy's face right now.
We're going to get arrested.
Brilliant.
All right, I better get back to work.
Yeah, get back to work. Yeah. And Janine, maybe you can hop on for a second. And you know, we Kathy and I were talking before the show about, you know, the price of vanity, right?
Yeah.
You know, and how most people put on this, you know, this is based on an article from Psychology Today, that, you know, as much as society dislikes vanity in others, we have a hard time admitting our own vain behaviors. And we all have vain behaviors. I don't care who you are.
That's true. We do.
Mm-hmm. Some do something about it and some don't.
Yeah. So at what point do you find people breaking that, you know, public, you know, mask of I shouldn't die? People are going to judge
that's
me.
That's interesting. I think when women first come in, they want no one to know that they're starting. And men don't want anyone to know that they're starting these anti-aging treatments. But once things get turned around on their face and they recognize themselves in the mirror, their vision of themselves matches what they see in their head, then they start talking. They're no longer ashamed of their appearance. Mm-hmm. They can deal with their wrinkles, which are now minimized, and their skin is pretty and healthy looking. And so that's really the goal of anti-aging and aesthetics should be to, when you get up in the morning, really, you look in the mirror and you like what you see. And you don't sit and fret and pull your skin back and do this and pull your chin back. Just kind of look in the mirror and look for your toothbrush and go about your day.
Hmm.
So don't let your appearance be a focus of your life or a focus of your morning's routine. Just sort of get your face to a place that you're comfortable with. If it's minimizing wrinkles or removing broken blood vessels or minimizing some wrinkles, then that's the goal. You don't have to be perfectly smooth. You can still have some wrinkles and still have some sagginess and still be attractive and healthy looking.
Sure, because people like my age, and I think
our age,
yeah,
all of us,
maybe
pretty
everybody
much
in the room, because I don't want to look perfect and shiny and not have a wrinkle. I have a lot of wrinkles, and some of them I'm really proud of.
We've earned these wrinkles.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Absolutely earned them. So I have to believe you take that into account too with a woman coming in, and you still want to give them some of their natural wrinkles and still be able to have some facial movement and
expressions. I think some people believe in that, ladies, but I think there's a whole school of women out there and men who want no wrinkles. You know, like I'm of the school of if you can get rid of it, give it a shot. And you know what I love? Guys are texting in right now photos of their forehead, which is just awesome, which is such a great idea. Text us your wrinkles. We want to share. You want to see this, Wendy? Here, hold on.
Now, I have a question, though. I mean, when Botox first came out, how many years ago?
Oh,
those are some big 11s.
That's a Botox emergency.
That's an emergency. You hear that 847 texted? It's a crucial emergency.
He's making that face your mom told you not to make.
Right. But you can get rid of that, right, doctor? That's the great thing. I mean, those are some pretty deep wrinkles.
Yeah, are some people un-Botoxable?
You want to catch those. Un-Botoxable.
I'd like to hear that in your life.
Is it sometimes it's just like a lost cause?
Yeah. Not really. I feel like that guy, you want to catch those wrinkles before they start sticking at rest. There's some people in the room who have a few wrinkles at rest. That's
me.
A filler may be more indicated, but you want to see what Botox does for you first. And if you're like, hey, it's been 2-3 weeks, why do I still have that wrinkle? That's when you introduce products like a filler.
Ah, okay.
So you can backfill the...
What are they made of? Do I even want to know?
Well, actually, interestingly enough, when you look at a kid's face, a baby's face, you see these big, full cheeks.
Mm-hmm.
They're full of hyaluronic acid, sort of like the body's own natural filler. Companies have now developed these products that they're off-the-shelf hyaluronic acids. And you're injecting obviously a very sterile product, but you're essentially re-injecting something manufactured from a bacteria to fill in these wrinkles. And, you know, quite effective. And it's become a very, almost like a palette of options when you're filling the cheek versus filling your tear troughs, which are the...
The doc did me last time he was here. He gave me a little something over here to test.
But is filler a little bit more aggressive than...
Before you answer that, Doc, we do have to take a break, unfortunately. Oh, yeah. We'll wrap up with Dr. Sherber in a second and our Botox crew here, Wendy, Mary, Judy, Kathy is in studio. We'll be right back. Welcome back to the show. The final stretch. Hamp, OB, and Kaz coming up at 3 o'clock. I've just been pricked, and I'm feeling good.
You look marvelous.
Yeah. How you all feeling?
You got poked.
Pretty good.
Good.
Yeah, I got poked.
No problems.
Catherine, you're not doing it?
I didn't get poked.
You're not poking?
Well, I did a while ago, like 3 weeks ago, to fix my droopy eye. So,
Dr. Sherber, you recommend?
I don't know. He's looking at me like, I might. Yeah, we're going to chat.
We're going to chat. Okay,
I might need a little something.
A couple texts before we have to run, because we can't come into the OB hour. Because they get mad, right?
And they get mad anyway.
Do they have their food here yet?
I always say I love when the Bears lose because I love listening to them get raging.
Well, isn't it a blowout?
Gosh,
even when the Bears
win. They're doing
win.
Very well right now.
Believe me, the
They'll
Bears won. Yeah, they're going to be mad about something. Always. Awesome.
Dr. Sherber, how can people get a hold of you? That's the number one question on the text right now.
So our main phone line is 847-853-9900. And our website, it's Cassie, C-A-S-I, plasticsurgery.com.
You can find them on Instagram. They're always posting great stuff on Instagram. It's at Chicago Aesthetic Surgery, I believe, right? On Instagram?
Sure.
Janine's, yeah, that sounds good.
Don't post any of the pictures of me on your Instagram, please.
By the way, it's been
just the after.
Live That's for about fine. An hour, so yeah. The entire world has been
really
watching
care.
You.
I know, I totally forget when we're off air, we're actually on air.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's why I got into radio, so you didn't have to see
exactly.
me.
Get into the new age, Wendy.
Okay, so I want to see after pictures when this kicks in a week or a few days.
We can post those, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, when they're all pretty and can't move and frozen and shiny.
I was telling the doctor last time I got Botox, and it was just a little bit for the 11s, but mm-hmm. I noticed it a little bit, but people really know. I was shocked. They just were like, yeah, you look kind of, your face is brighter. You
rested.
Look, did you get some sleep? You look like you really...
what have you been doing? And then I thought, man, I must have looked pretty bad.
Yeah.
Hey, Doc, question on the text line. Why does dye sport work better on me than the others?
Well, in my practice, there's been probably 5 gals, blonde-haired, blue-eyed, that Botox does not work.
Oh, great.
Oh, really?
They'll come back.
What?
They'll come back.
Judy, Wendy, sorry.
Judy. They'll come back 2 to 3 weeks later, and either it's a stressful situation in their life or they've used Botox for a long time, and they're like, I'm just not getting the same effect. And in my personal experience, it's been blonde-haired, blue-eyed girls.
Huh.
There is also some...
Oh, yeah, that's more patients are blonde-haired, blue-eyed.
There's also
some real blonde?
Vitamin deficiencies that have been linked to less effective Botox outcomes. And so I feel like you just got to come in and we'll take a look at that.
Like an overall health thing. You can't come in and just get Botox without some kind of consultation.
Well, I think Frank and I talk about this a lot. I think diet and exercise is actually first and foremost, I think what people should do with their lives.
Now we got to diet and exercise?
What?
I want the easy route.
That is the easy route.
Just give me the Botox.
Botox will make you lose weight, though. Yeah, let's just clear that up.
Wendy had a really good question off the air about the cost. Has the cost gone down at all?
Since it's so common? Prevalent?
One would hope, right? Because I grew up in a pretty poor family. I think everything sounds expensive to me. Botox sounds expensive to me. But so far, the company Allergan that produces the gold standard in Botox, their price goes up annually. And in our practice, it's really, we don't discount for injecting Dysport versus Botox just because it's kind of a headache. We don't really know, sure it might be a few dollars off, but it's not a significant discount to use Dysport. We wish it was. It's expensive.
Okay.
It's a luxury item.
Thank you so much.
Yeah.
I feel pretty.
Yeah.
Thank
so
you
so much. By the way, Dr. Sherber, he's got really gentle hands.
So pretty. He's gentle all around.
Yeah, he is.
Like, he's the kind of doctor
pretty
you
easy
want
on the eyes, too.
Yeah.
I'd go to him.
Not a bad looking dude. Janine, Doc, thank you so much
now
again.
Oh,
the first official WGN Radio Botox Party. Wendy, Mary, Judy, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank
Kathy
you, Frank.
Hart, thank you for watching us get Botox.
Of course, yeah. Anything I can do to help.
We're doing our exercises.
Yes, yes, yes. We'll be back here next week, 1 to 3, every Sunday. Coming up, the stories that matter with, who's up there?
Pam Jones.
Pam Jones is still there. Oh, I know you. I just thought that maybe I get...
I have an appointment with the doctor coming up.
Hey, there.
All right. This month. It's the 20-something, so I will see you in your office, doctor.
Take pictures, Pam, and post them for us.
You guys aren't getting pictures. I don't think you want pictures of this.
Oh, I do.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
If we're talking keloid scars, then you would want pictures. But I don't think you want pictures of this.
I thought you were getting all sorts of other stuff going on. But anyway, I can't be late.
It's the start to something big.
From the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom on WGN Radio.
All right, the Steve Cochran Show celebrates the most valuable person on the planet weekday mornings at 720 on 720 WGN Chicago. Smart speaker users just say play WGN Radio on TuneIn. The news is sponsored by HearingHealthCenter.com. It is 3 o'clock. Here's Pam Jones.